new temporary location here at PAX. First and foremost, extremely happy that y'all are with us today. Hopefully everyone's week is going well. Everyone on spring break right now? Right? Anyone not on spring break? Yeah, that weird school. But hopefully, inshallah, whether you're in spring break, whether you're not on spring break, you're enjoying your time this week. We're happy to be here with you guys. Just a couple of announcements before we kind of go on with our session tonight. Just wanted to kind of simply remind everybody, COVID protocol is still heavily enforced here. So I know that we just handed out drinks to everybody. And obviously, you know, you can definitely lower the mask for like a split second to take sips here and there. But just, you know, keep in mind, generally, you know, make sure to keep your masks on at all times from, you know, when you're not sipping on your drinks. Make sure that you're, you know, decent distance from each other when you're conversing with each other before or after the session. Just keeping those things in mind, inshallah. Having said that, we are now going to begin session six, advice six, in our Soul Food series on Ayyuhal Walad, Imam Ghazali's dear beloved son. We're going to do a Q&A session at the end of this program, just like we do every single Thursday. And for those of you who are here right now, obviously, you can go onto your phones at menti.com like you usually do every Thursday. And the code for that is going to be 2447-6809. So 2447-6809. And if you're actually a part of the college Telegram chat, I actually directly sent the Q&A link there. So all you got to do is click it if you want to submit a question before we get to the Q&A portion, inshallah. Anybody have any questions? Anything before we begin? Yes. The website is menti.com, menti.com. And you can plug in the code 2447-6809. Alrighty, any more questions before we start? Hopefully the best questions are after we start, inshallah. All right, perfect.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, everybody. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Welcome back. Welcome back to our study of Imam Ghazali's advice to his student. Inshallah, tonight, as you guys have, or you should have, in your hands, the handout here about what advice we're going to be covering tonight. The theme is actually, of his sixth advice, is actually continued from the previous one and even continues into the next one a little bit. But this is like a nice little transition that he makes, rahimahullah, when he talks about sincerity. And last week we talked about a little bit about sincerity. And we talked about some of the different measures of sincerity. Like what are some of the measures of sincerity is that you make sure that you're not just, you know, doing things for the wrong reasons, that you know why you're doing something. And the story, who remembers the story that we mentioned last week? There's a really slightly intimidating, maybe a little bit scary story that was told. Who can jog our memory? About the man who worshipped for 70 years. You guys remember the story? Yes. And what happened? Okay. Yes. So Allah sends an angel to this guy after worshiping for 70 years. And the angel tells him, like, great, but just want to let you know, it looks like you're not going to enter paradise. You're not going to Jannah. You're not going to heaven. And what does the guy say? What is his response? Mm-hmm. Very good. His response, shockingly, is that, well, I worship Allah because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not necessarily always thinking about this transaction, right? And this, I know this, you know, I want to clarify something because a lot of people online, Instagram and stuff are like, but shouldn't we strive for Jannah? Isn't that part of the purpose? Yes or no? Should we hope for Jannah? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, very good. So is it wrong to worship Allah and then after you worship? Is it wrong to pray? And then after you pray, for example, you're like, oh, I didn't do that for Jannah. No, of course we do that for Jannah. But what the story is trying to get us to think about is how many actions do we have with Allah where it's almost like a purchase at a store? Okay, Allah, I prayed, now give me this. Okay, Allah, I did this, now give me this. That relationship is not a relationship. That's a business transaction, right? Like when you come to PAX and you pay for coffee, you get coffee. But you're not friends with the barista, unless you are, then hopefully they shouldn't charge you, right? But like, you're not friends with that person. But when we talk about our relationship with Allah, it's not the same as like paying somebody for something, right? We don't just pray because we want to like attain something. No, there's deeper meaning to that, right? Like, how many of you, your parents did something for you and you did not say thank you? Not because you were being mean, but just because you forgot. Ever in your life, you forgot to say thank you? Absolutely. For sure, it happens. It's natural, right? But does that mean that they're not going to do it for you again? Has anyone's mom ever quietly walked into the room while they were studying and put a plate of sliced fruit on their table? Just my mom, right? So, and usually it's done. You might say thank you. You might just be so zoned in. Does that mean they're never going to do it again? No, because they're not doing the nice thing for you for the reward. They're doing it because they love you. So the whole purpose of this story from this person from Ani Sa'id was that I'm not only worshiping Allah because I'm trying to just get some reward and move on. No, I'm doing it because it's part of my responsibility. It's my love of Allah that caused me to do this. And the byproduct of that relationship is that, yes, there is a reward. But that's not the ultimate goal in and of itself, right? That's not the ultimate goal in and of itself. So the next section, who wants to read for us? The first little segment, who wants to read? Nice and loud. We had one of the guys read last time, so any of the girls? I'll go back to the guys, but yeah, go ahead. Yes, yes, exactly, the first little section. Anyone here pulled an all-nighter before? Stayed up late for whatever reason? Okay, why? What are some of the reasons that we stay up late? Yeah, right. Okay. Studying, okay. Yeah, so we have that. We had to get that one out of the way, right? We had to get that one out of the way. Okay, studying. Why else? Yeah. Qiyam during Ramadan. All right, so we have like the two best humans in the world right now. Answer first. What else? You're right. Video games, okay. Recreation, what else? What are some other kinds of like recreation that we do? Netflix, social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, right? The related videos black hole that just sucks you in. And before you know it, you were looking up like recipes for something and now you know how to install light fixtures. Like, just kind of pulls you there, right? Yeah, and then staying up and then eventually what happens, you know, you look at the clock, it says 12, and you're like, okay, I'll go to bed in like 30 minutes or an hour or something. And then before you know it, it says 3. You're like, what have I done? Right? And sometimes, like Sharifa said, like we do stay up for the right reasons. We do stay up because we want to study. And that's what actually Imam Ghazali is going to reference. But he says, how often, how you know, كَمْ مِنْ لَيَالٍ أَحْيَيْتَهَا بِتَكْرَارِ الْعِلْمِ وَمُطَالَةِ الْكُرْآنِ Al-Kutubi, how often have you stayed awake reviewing your books and revising your knowledge that you gained, studying what you had to study? How often have you done that? The answer, he's talking to his students. So how often do students do that? Pretty often, right? If I ask college students like, hey, how often do you study? What should, keyword here, should a college student say? A lot. I study a lot, right? So he's asking one of his students like, how often have you studied? Student's answer is, it's rhetorical, it doesn't need to answer. I study a lot, right? And then he says, I have no idea why you did that. Imam al-Ghazali says, that was so, I have no clue why you would do that. Why did you do that? It's like challenging the student. Well, isn't that why I'm a student? Isn't that why I exist? If your professor asked you, who stayed up late last night studying, raise your hand. They say, I don't know why you would do that. You'd be shocked. Why are you dismissing what I'm supposed to be doing? But then he continues. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, so woe to you is not something that you might hear commonly. But basically what he's saying that, you know, in kana niyatuka nayla arad ad-dunya, that if your niya was for some sort of acquisition of this world, whether it was, you know, he mentions like having some of the bitahsil, to acquire some of the luxuries of this world, or to not just to acquire the luxuries, but also to have like the status of this world, to be praised by people, to be celebrated and praised by people, then he says, then, you know, I have no idea why you would do that. Shame on you. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? And then he says the next one. Go ahead. Says on the opposite hand, if you were somebody who was trying to revive the faith of the Prophet ﷺ in your heart, the faith of Allah in your heart, you were trying to conquer yourself, you were trying to get better, then you are blessed, then you are blessed. Then finish the bit. Yeah, subhanAllah. Then he says, you know, this poet says, سَهَرَ الْعُيُونِ لِغَيْرِ وَجْهِكَ ضَاعِيٌ. He says this poet is speaking to Allah, staying awake, the wakefulness of the eye for anything other than your cause is a complete waste. وَبَكَاءُهُنَّ لِغَيْرِ فَقْدِكَ بَاطِلٌ. And crying for any other reason besides losing you is completely false. Right? It sounds really intense. But let's back up a little bit and talk about what this entire chapter means. And this is really important because Ramadan's coming up and we know that Ramadan is the ultimate litmus test. More than anything else, it really is. You know, why do you do what you do? What motivates you to do what you do? What motivates us to do anything that we do? What are your big motivators, guys? Why are you in school? Are you in school? To get a degree, but not really. You don't care about a degree, do you? Degree's pointless. It's a worthless piece of paper. What does that degree give you? It gives you career. Yeah, exactly. It gives you prospect. Exactly, right? So the degree itself, and I like how we're being honest, because it's important when you talk about your motivations to really talk about what motivates you. You know, a lot of people say, well, I want to get an education. No, you could care less about the education. If somebody came and offered you the same job without the need to go through that process, you would take it, right? So long as you wouldn't hurt yourself or somebody else in the process, right? So we go to school to get a diploma, but not really. That diploma is just kind of like a stepping stone along the way to get what? To get a degree, to get a job, to get gainful income so that we can pay for the things that we like. So really what motivates us is getting things that we like, right? Whether it's a house, a car, whether it's getting married, things that are required. Okay, so there are means and there are goals. Many things that we want are actually means, they're not goals. Money has no value, right? If I gave you $1,000 cash right now, you'd be excited. But what if every store you went to says, we don't take cash, we only take Bitcoin? You're like, I knew it, right? I should have invested in Bitcoin. If you had cash and every store said, we don't accept your cash here, then what would you say? This cash is worthless. So money itself is actually pointless. What is our motivation is not the money, but what the money can get us, right? So we, and Allah tells us this, he says, وَتُحِبُّونَ مَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا, that you love wealth. He didn't say money, he said wealth. You love wealth. You love the acquisition of wealth. And that's something that Allah Ta'ala knows about us. It's one of our greatest motivators, is to acquire things. And so, to give up your sleep, how many of you love sleep whenever you get the chance to? Like, sleep is one of the natural necessary functions of the human being. It's something that we have to do. It's something that we enjoy doing. It gives us rest and it rejuvenates our body for the next day. In order for you to give up sleep for something, you must love that thing. You must love that thing or love whatever that thing is going to give you. So you stay up and watch Netflix. Why? Because you love that series. You love the show. You stay up and watch the Meghan Markle interview with Prince Harry. Why? Because you love them, right? You love the royal family and you want to know more. You stay up eating, or you stay up hanging out with your friends, or you stay up working out. Why? Because you love doing that. That's what you love to do, right? Or you love the way it makes you feel, more appropriately. So when we give up sleep, we are proving that we love something, right? I go to sleep and then my daughter wakes up and she cries, I wake up. Now, if I just slept through my daughter crying and she just cried, Baba, please, what would you guys say? You don't really love your daughter that much, do you? Because a parent can't really sleep when their kids are crying. So check this out. He says, subhanAllah, He says, how many nights have you stayed up studying, hanging out, preparing, working, whatever it might be? And the answer is like, I can't even count. Can't even count how many nights, Imam Ghazali. Why are you asking? And then he says, now compare that to the amount of nights that you've stayed up for Allah. Do you really want Jannah? That's his question. Do you want Jannah? We say yes, of course. Raise your hand if you want to go to Jannah, everybody. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Of course. Absolutely. Have we stayed up one night making dua for that? Like on our own accord? And the answer is maybe, but not as emphatic as have you stayed up waiting for the PS5 to drop? Have you stayed up waiting for, you know, to order your new phone? Have you stayed up waiting to hang out with friends? Have you gone out? You know, I'm shocked, but I remember when I was in college, like the next move guy, you know what I mean? You know the person I'm talking about? Like the night, the hangout's kind of winding down. It's like 11 p.m. There's always that one guy who's like, so what's next? What's the next move? And you're like, the next move is sleep. And he's like, no, where are we going next? It's Sunday. There's nothing open. He's like, we'll go to a parking lot and sit. And now that I'm 33, all that seems ridiculous to me. But I remember we used to go to my friend's house and play FIFA in his house until Fajr. His parents would come back from Isha and be like, Assalamu alaikum, there's food in the kitchen. They would wake up for Fajr and be like, did you guys sleep? Or like, you don't want to know. All night we'd be awake. We'd go pray Fajr, we'd come back. And then, you know, if you miss sleep, it's gone. Now you can't sleep anymore. It's like the sun's out, the birds are out, you feel ashamed. You go to bed, the bird's like, what a bum. Just looking at you like, what a loser. And you're just like, God, shouldn't have played FIFA all night. It resets your whole day. We do the craziest things for the things that we want to do. We will literally give up 8, 9, 10 hours of sleep because of FIFA, or because of 2K, or because of a movie, or because of a hangout. How many hangouts have you gone to? You're like, I should have gone home earlier. I just wasted the last 2 hours. I should have just left at 10. We're so generous with that. But when it comes to Allah, we're very cheap, right? Very stingy. Like, can you pray something after Isha? I was like, I'm tired. It'll take you 3 minutes. And I'm so exhausted. Can I sit down and pray? It's like, but you'll stand in line for Black Friday for a TV. You know what I mean? Like, we'll do the craziest things for that. So Imam Ghazali says something really powerful. He says, your love is your ultimate proof. Your love is your ultimate proof. You want to know who you are, just look at what you love. And even more deep, look at what you'll sacrifice for. If you sacrifice for something, then that means that is who you are, right? So as a father, I have 2 kids. I will sacrifice for my kids. I want to do something, my kids say no, I don't go. Tonight, I'm leaving to come here, and my kid's like, where are you going, Baba? It's like, I gotta go to work. He goes, don't go to work. And in my heart, I was like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't. Even though I knew I had to, but because you love your kid, you never want to disappoint them. Literally, guys, it's gotten to the point where I've had something in my cart when I'm shopping on my phone. I've had something in my checkout cart. And my son's like, Baba, can I get a Mario Lego set? And I've literally, because of budget, I've had to take out what I wanted and put in what he wanted. Right? So I had to take out what I wanted and put in what he wanted. That's crazy. Wallahi, many of you are like, I'll never do that for anybody. Wait till you have kids. It's nuts. It blows your mind. You'll buy yourself like secondhand used clothing just so that they can have nice stuff. It's wild. But you know what that means? It just means I love him and I love her, my son and daughter. My wife, the same thing. I will give for my wife. My wife, unfortunately, my kids broke her Apple Watch and then she decided to shower with it on. So they cracked the screen and then water got in there and she's like, why isn't my Apple Watch working? And I was like, I think it's because you got water in there, right? Now, I was looking to upgrade my watch very soon because I have an old one. It's slow. It's still on 2018. That was a joke. Okay, so it's slow. It's like really slow. So I was looking to upgrade my own watch. She tells me this, and I just go and buy her a new watch. I'm like, all right, let's get you a new Apple Watch. She's like, no. I'm like, just do it, man. You need it. It's literally, as a mother, that's how you take phone calls. She has no idea where her phone is. It's like Cocomelon or like YouTube Kids all day. She's like talking to her wrist like she's from the future, right? And I'm like, you need it more than I do. And because I love you, my wife, I want to make sure you have it more than me just having a watch because I was going to get it. So Imam Ghazali says that's a sign of love. Now charity, sadaqah, interestingly enough, is one of those things. How many of us have been able to give charity from that which we love? Allah Ta'ala says, لَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. The hadith the Prophet ﷺ says. It says that you don't believe until you give from that which you love. That's why charity is so hard. Because you love your money. You don't want to give it up. How many of us have ever cleaned out our closets before to give to charity? Anybody? Gone through old clothes? You guys do that? It's really good. You know, you go through, you clean it up, make sure it looks nice, you fold it, and then you go donate it. You guys ever done that? Good job. You know what Imam Ghazali would say? He'd say, not good enough. He'd say, why don't you keep your old clothes and go shopping for somebody in need? That's the real deal. He says, have you ever gone to the store, saw a shirt that you really liked for yourself, looked at the price tag, cut that in half and said, I'm only going to spend this much on myself so I can buy something brand new for somebody. I don't want the refugees wearing stuff that I used to wear. I don't want somebody in need wearing stuff that I don't want anymore. Is that sadaqah or is that spring cleaning? Right? That's what Imam Ghazali would say. So you see how he's kind of like hitting a nerve here. If you love something, then if you really want to see if you're the real deal, see if you can give that thing away. See if you can give that thing up. See if you can sacrifice that thing for what? For the greatest love, Allah. And if you're able to do that, then you know you have proof. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, As-sadaqatu burhan. Sadaqah is the proof of what? That your faith is real. That you truly love Allah. Why is Ramadan the greatest example of that, guys? How does Ramadan prove that we love Allah? I want to hear some examples. How does your Ramadan prove that you love Allah? You give up what? Giving up food or water. Very good. How many of you guys love to eat? Yes. Normal, natural, good, healthy. And you give it up. You give it up for Allah. You're like, okay, no. Why? Is there any reason? Everyone's like, well, you know, some studies show that intermittent fasting. No, don't talk about that. Right? You're giving up food and drink for Allah. Point blank. Right? What else? What else do you do in Ramadan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you spend the night praying, maybe going to the masjid. Last year, I know obviously that wasn't the case, but maybe this year there may be some outdoor or even some spaced out indoor stuff. You pray Salah week. Instead of doing what? Yeah, instead of just sitting on your phone. Instead of just doing anything else, you go there for Allah. What else do you guys do? Anyone here give up anything else? Tell me what else you give up in Ramadan. Things maybe that are not like necessarily haram. Because those things, like, they're kind of easy to give up, right? You have to. If you don't, then it looks really bad. What are things that you choose to give up? Yeah. Oh my goodness. You only watch for an hour? In Ramadan. Okay, you're like outside? You're like, that's a different conversation. You're like, we need to talk about it. I have three TVs. Okay, so you limit yourself to 1 hour of screen time. That's impressive. That's very impressive given how much we watch like YouTube on our phones, stuff like that. She's like, I didn't think about that. She's like, uh-oh, right? No, but for real, that's very impressive. MashaAllah, good for you. Anyone else? Anyone here give up music for Ramadan? Anyone here stop listening to music? Okay, what else? What else? Do you guys give up anything else? No? This is a really good thing to do for this Ramadan then. To give up something that you don't have to give up. Right? I know people that, for example, like only wear the hijab in Ramadan. They don't normally wear it. They wear it in Ramadan. Because they're like, I want to give up my, you know, that part of me. I want to give it up for say Ramadan. For Allah during that month and see if I can do it. Right? I know people who don't pray normally. 5 times a day, right? We all struggle. But in Ramadan, they're on it 5 times a day. They're like, I'll do 6. I'm like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. You can't just do 6. They're like, but you know, I'll make up. I'm like, no. Do 5. Right? 5's good. Not more, not less. They do in Ramadan. Okay? I have friends who set aside their food budget, whatever they would have spent typically in a month of food, and they give that to sadaqah. Every day they give from sadaqah in Ramadan. Right? The reason why Ramadan is so powerful is because it shows you who you truly love. And it allows you to prove it to Allah in those moments. Because we really, 11 months out of the year, just tell Allah that we love Him. And we kind of just like come to Him with dua when we need some things. But Ramadan is the 30 days where you get the chance to prove it by sacrificing, which is what Imam Ghazali is saying here. He says, you stay up all night doing whatever you want. Stay up for Allah sometimes. Instead of talking to your friends late at night, how many of y'all close off your night with a dua? You know, it's interesting. You guys ever seen a movie or a TV show where like the religious Christian kid is like kneeled over his bed in prayer? You guys ever seen that? Yeah, and it's oftentimes portrayed as like somewhat comical, lighthearted, like this little kid is praying because prayer is what kids do because adults don't believe in God, right? There's kind of this interesting sort of motive behind it. But subhanAllah, that's actually something that we should do every night. Not kneel over your bed in prayer. I don't want you guys, oh Father, that's not how we do it, right? But I want you guys to engage in dua every night. What does that mean? It means like when you are about to go retire for the evening, as my Downton Abbey friends would say, right? As you're going to go retire for the evening and you're done, you know, you're one step away from just head on the pillow and knocking out, you know, that ugly sleep, that good sleep where you're real ugly, mouth open, drool just coming out, it's really good. When you're about to do that, go and make wudu or freshen up. Sit towards the qibla and towards the direction of prayer and open your hands and just make dua to Allah for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Very brief. Let me give you some advice on how to do this. It's very easy. Number one, we talked about this yesterday for some of the for the other program that I'm doing, but I want to share with you. Number one, talk about the things that you're grateful for to Allah. There's 4 things you have to hit. Number one, your gratitude. What are you grateful for? Thank Allah, everything, good answer, right? But be more specific. The more specific you are, the easier your dua is. You know why dua is hard? Because we're like, oh Allah, thanks for everything, ameen. Oh Allah, give me everything, ameen. Forgive me for everything, ameen. Dua is in like 10 seconds, right? No. Talk about it. Talk about what you're grateful for. Oh Allah, thank you for this. Oh Allah, if you didn't give me this, I don't know where I would be. Oh Allah, the health that you've given me, the family you've given me, the support, the friendship. Oh Allah, you've given me